afternoon, everyone. Pardon me while I get wired up for sound here, just a moment. In the meantime, I'm going to mess up Mr. Miller's song leading notes here.
I can do it an impression of the Borg. It doesn't get any better than this. And my apologies. All right, are we good? Can you hear me now? There we are. Awesome. Cut myself a little more cord here. I think I may just leave it up here on the table. The lectern. One time I called this a podium and found out that was not the right terminology. Well, again, good afternoon, brethren. And at the risk of sounding self-serving, I want to thank the choir for their performance. It's a job well done. The voices were magnificent, especially those in the bass section. I'm kidding, of course. Truly, God gives us the talent for whatever we do, whether it be singing, playing an instrument, or just making a joyful noise, and truly the credit and the glory go to God, and I'm so thankful and so grateful for that. All right, from digital to analog here. Let's see. Just writing down something. Okay. All right. Brethren, what wonderful messages we've had these days of unleavened bread. The encouragement, the call to arms, the instruction that we've received has been so very, very wonderful. And as we know, over the last 7 days, we've spent time looking at our lives, and we've removed the leavening from our homes and our lives, and we've replaced it with the unleavened, the ways of sincerity and truth. We have taken part in renewing and strengthening our commitment with God. But at sundown tonight, these days end. And leavened products, the physical leavening that we're accustomed to, will return to our homes. So how have we done these last 7 days, if we think about it? Have we just kind of gone through the motions, physically speaking? Or have those physical motions had spiritual meaning and significance applied to them as we've lived these days? As we've heard, have we truly taken in the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth as we heard in 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 8 during the course of these days? Have we been taking in and applying the Word of God through prayer and study in the messages we have heard? What of the spiritual? Again, as it's sundown tonight, the 7 days of special focus on leaven in our lives will end. That special focus that we've been driving at. And we will return to our usual lives. As the days go forward, as we leave these times, as we put the notes away and time goes forward, our lives go forward, will that spiritual leaven come creeping back into our lives? Brethren, the choices, we've been hearing many messages about the choices we make ultimately. The choices that we make in the things we do and say and think, these show where our heart is and who we truly follow. Again, the question for us, will we stay unleavened? Where will our commitment lead us in the days to come as we leave these spring holy days? Excuse me. The question is, which leader will we follow? That's the title of my message today. Which leader will we follow? Because there are two, really, if we think about it, who desire to lead us. Both hope for and desire our allegiance, our worship, our obedience. Both wish to lead us. And our choices and our actions, our words and our thoughts will dictate who we are being led by, won't they? Which leader will we follow? The one who is the true, the loving leader, our great God in heaven, hopes that we will choose to follow his lead in how we live our lives. For the first scripture, let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30. While we're turning there, Mr. Kester came to me during lunch and he says, "Well, I hope I don't use all your scriptures." To my surprise, he didn't use any of them. So I'm not sure if I did something wrong or I'm kidding, of course. I think, you know, the speakers, we take different approaches to subjects and we have God's guidance in doing this, thankfully. But Deuteronomy 30 and verse 19 and 20. This is God's hope for us. "I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you." Not that part. That's not his hope for us. "That I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life." This is God's hope for us, that by choosing life, we will choose him. We will follow his lead. "That both you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, and that you may cling to him, for he is your life and the length of your days, and that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them." A true and honest observance of these days of unleavened bread that have passed show our desire, our choice, our commitment to follow God and his way, to choose the way of life. You know, this time of year, and as we just heard in some of the messages today, we often note and review the journey of Israel to the Promised Land. In Mr. Light's sermon on the first day of the last Sabbath, we heard some about this. The thoughts of the people of Israel as they came out of Egypt those first few days were made pretty plain. It wasn't long before they wanted to go back to Egypt where the food was good. As it was pointed out, they kind of forgot about all the bad stuff and could only think about the food and how good it was back there. They complained, essentially, about what they had to do to obey God. They wanted to follow their desires instead of following God. In other words, they wanted to march to a different beat and follow the lead of a different master, one who would give them what they wanted to fill their desires of the moment. Do we know anyone like that? Someone who will open up to you anything you want, as long as it's not what God desires, and as long as it separates us from God and leads us to destruction. This leader leads by temptation. Divide and conquer is his MO, and I think it's pretty obvious who that is. We all know him as our adversary, Satan the devil. He is the other one who wishes to lead us. He wishes for us to follow him. You know, we heard not that long ago that Moses and Joshua made the commitment to follow God. It's very clear in passage. We have made the same commitment as well. And we need to follow the leader we made that commitment to and be solid in that following. We should desire to follow our true example, Jesus Christ, our shepherd. He leads from love. He gave his life for us that we may live. We know this. Let's go to John chapter 10. John chapter 10 and verse 9. And Jesus Christ reminds us of who he is and what he makes possible for us. John chapter 10, verses 9 through 11. John chapter 10, verse 9. I guess it'd work better if I was in chapter 10. All right, verse 9. This is Jesus Christ speaking. I am the door. I am the way. I am the entrance to true life. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Jesus Christ promised this to those who would follow him, to those who made the commitment to follow a godly and righteous life. And we know this is amazing because we all have to make that choice. Even Jesus Christ had to make the choice whether he was going to follow God or answer to the temptation of Satan that we read about in Matthew chapter 4. When Jesus Christ was on earth, we know he was just as human as we are. We have to choose. He had to choose. He chose to follow God, and because of that, we have life. We have the opportunity for life, true and eternal life. You know, these things I speak of, I may sound like I'm being Captain Obvious here. Thankfully, I left the uniform at home. You don't want to see that. But how quickly it can be that we end up on the wrong road, possibly without even realizing it. We have to consider what we think about, what we do, what we say. We make choices every single day, many times a day, decisions. Where does our influence for those decisions come from? You know, these days should have hopefully helped us in making right and wise choices and removing those things which cause us to follow the wrong leader or desire the wrong things and instilling those things in us that would reinforce the choice to follow our true leader, the right leader, our God and his Son. Should we not consider carefully the choices we make each day going forward to remember the lessons that we have learned this week in this Holy Day season and to make sure the choices that we make are in line with the way of our shepherd, the one who really does love us in the way of God? Again, though physical leaven will rejoin us, it will rejoin our lives tonight, we cannot allow the spiritual leaven of sin to do the same. That would cause alignment with the thief that we read about in verse 10. The one who wants nothing more than to separate us from God and to destroy us, to do anything he can against God. By keeping these days, we have seen how sin can enter and work in our lives and how the other master works. We know Satan leads by temptation, by trickery. God has made sure that as part of the tools that were talked about earlier, one of the tools God has given us, he has given us the ability to see how our adversary works. By his Holy Spirit, we can see who he really is. Paul tells us this. He reminds us of this in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, and it's really verse 11, but I'm going to go back up to verse 10 to give it a little bit of context. And mostly like Mr. Light, I don't want to break into the middle of a sentence. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 10 and 11. This is Paul. Now whom you forgive anything, I also forgive. For if indeed I have forgiven anything, I have forgiven that one for your sakes in the presence of Christ. And of course, he's talking about the man that was caught in the heinous sin that the surrounding society didn't even speak of, but he repented and he was received back into the congregation. So I have forgiven that one for your sake in the presence of Christ, lest Satan should take advantage of us. For we are not ignorant of his devices. God has opened our eyes. He's given us that tool to see what and who we fight against. And what a blessing that is. The world, of course, is blinded to that right now. They do not know, they do not understand who stirs them up, who fights against them. We have the blessing as long as we continue to follow the true leader. And as mentioned in the message earlier, we have to stay in the fight. You know, we do get pressed on all sides, but remember what we fight and who we fight against, because we are working our way to the promised land in the spiritual desert. Just as ancient Israel was led to the promised land across the Jordan, we have our own promised land, as we know we are being delivered to, we are working toward. If we follow our true leader, God and Jesus Christ, make wise choices in our lives, remove the spiritual leaven from our lives, and we make good our escape from spiritual Egypt, we will be separate from the world and a special people to God as he desires of us. We will be removed from sin. And again, as was referred to earlier, we cannot do it alone. It is not possible. We have help, but we must be diligent to seek it. God's Spirit, his Word, are the cloud that guide us by day, and is our fire to see and protect us by night. Exodus 13 and verses 21 and 22 refer to the cloud and the fire that led the people of Israel. I'll just refer to those. The cloud and the fire lead the way. They give light. And this he does for us too, every day, even today, spiritually, if we follow him and do not stray from the truth. So as time goes on, will we still be with the class, so to speak? Or will we be lost in the desert? It's really our choice. But as we are God's called out ones, we are pilgrims and strangers in this world, and we're not to be in part and parcel with the world. Let's go ahead and go to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 13. The tail end of the segment where the writer is referring to the heroes of faith. Hebrews 11, verse 13. I will one day learn to read my notes. It's all the worse because this is typed. All right. Hebrews 11, verses 13 through 16. Referring to those above. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come from, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. And we too must desire that better country. And the only way we're going to make it there, the only way to get there, is to make sure we are following the right and true leader. Every day, keeping sin out of our lives, staying on course, staying spiritually unleavened, staying dedicated, staying committed. If we have one foot on each side of the fence, for example, if we're double-minded, how are we supposed to make progress through the desert that is the world? God's not going to share us with the world and its ways. That's what these days are all about. Being cleansed from sin, being separate from the ways of Satan's kingdom, its leader, our adversary, being on one track, being of one mind. and following again the true leader. Really, if you think about it, few things are scarier than knowing you're lost. I'm sure many of us have been lost in various places at one time or another. And as Mr. Light mentioned in his message, sometimes that can lead you to the snap zone. It can be very frightening. Sometimes, though, it can happen gradually and sneak up on you. You don't even realize you're lost. Before you know it, you don't know where you are. You have no bearings. It makes it very easy to become vulnerable in a spiritual sense to the leader and maker of temptations, of destruction. This is what happens in backsliding when we become careless, if we drift away. Let us be certain of the road, the path that we want to be on. Let's go to Proverbs. Let's go to Proverbs. And Solomon talks about this road and this path that we need to take. Proverbs chapter 4. I'm going to go ahead and read a few verses in here. Proverbs chapter 4, starting in verse 10. He says, "Hear, my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in right paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered, and when you run, you will not stumble. Take firm hold of instruction. Do not let go. Keep her, for she is your life." Verse 14, "Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn away from it and pass on. For they do not sleep unless they have done evil, and their sleep is taken away unless they make someone fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence." Verse 18, "But the path of the just is like the shining sun, that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble." Verse 20. We'll read to verse 27, by the way. Verse 20. "My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth. Put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Remove your foot from evil." Walk the path that God has made for us, that we learn about through Bible study, through services, the messages we hear. Stay on that path. Maintain that good commitment. Choose life every day. Stay spiritually unleavened. Know who you're following. This sounds like work, doesn't it? It is. Mr. Miller spoke about that in his sermonette. Following the right leader is work. And Mr. Light spoke, again, of getting out of our comfort zone. It's work, but it's good work. Matthew 16, verse 24. Matthew 16 and verse 24. This is profitable work. Jesus talks to his disciples here and says, "If anyone desires to come after me, if anyone desires to follow him, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." There it is. Verse 25, "For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." If we truly desire the way of God, to follow his son, then our personal desires, ourselves, have to take at least second place. And that's not easy sometimes. Philippians 2 and verse 12 reminds us to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. But it's good work. It's profitable work. It shows a positive product in our lives, doesn't it? It's very encouraging. It's what we signed on for, right? So if we say we follow God, then our actions, words, thoughts, and deeds have to match. We do the will and the way of God, the one we're following, and not our adversary. In John 14 and verse 15, I'll just refer to that. It's probably a memory verse, but it makes it very plain. If you love me, keep my commandments, Jesus says. And this is what we've been focusing on these last 7 days, avoiding the sin which so easily ensnares us and doing the will of the one who loves us. And another thing we have to remember, which we probably know through personal experience, is that having God's Spirit does not make us immune to sin, does it? Not at all. We have to be proactive in this. God leads through His Spirit, again through Christ, but we must be willing to follow. We must be willing to be led by our Father in heaven. You know, the Israelites would have got lost right away if they hadn't had a leader. What about us? Who will our leader be? Dr. Donald Ward wrote a letter to the elders on March 27th, and I'd like to quote a little bit of that letter. He says, quote, breaking into the letter, "We as the people of God are facing great challenges that will sweep us away if we give in to the ways of this world. Our children are to a large degree innocent lambs being led to the slaughter in the name of love and toleration. Yet the world does not remotely know what godly love is. We need to keep in mind the biblical definition of love." And he refers to 1 John 5 and verse 3. I'll go ahead and read that. "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not burdensome or grievous," in some translations. "Satan poses as an angel of light. While promising them liberty, they become the servants of corruption." And he refers to 2 Peter 2 and verse 19. "We must stand strong in these trying times and not be overcome by the wiles of the devil and those who support his agenda. In summary, his agenda is the destruction of humanity. Satan is the merchant of death." Again, the MO of the other one who would want to lead us. You know, these days of unleavened bread have reminded us that challenge, how the world marches to the beat of its current master. Again, I can't say it often enough, we cannot allow that insidious spiritual leavening to creep back into our lives. You know, God has given us the power of choice. It's one of the most powerful things that we can have in our lives after God's Spirit. Will we always follow our leader, regardless of where that journey takes us? Sometimes the journey, as we heard earlier today, goes off in places that we don't understand. Why is this happening? Where is this going? I feel like I'm not going somewhere I want to go. The trek is seldom easy. But Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14 remind us that this journey is hard work. Again, difficult. "We enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction." It's difficult, but it is the way to life. Again, it's good work. It's profitable work. It's encouraging work. And there is great reward. We heard a little bit about that in the messages today. God will give us a place of honor. John 12 and verse 26 says, "If anyone serves Jesus Christ, then let him follow Jesus Christ. Where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor." And as we know, there will be a place made for us in the government and the family of God. And we can read about those. I will just refer to them in Revelation 5 and verse 9 and 10, among so many other places in God's Word. We will be kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. We will be part of God's family. So again, as we make our choices day to day, as we deal with the things that happen in our lives, we have to ask ourselves in the moment, who are we following? Who will we follow as our lives go forward. Our everyday choices will dictate this. Do we want the now with instant gratification and ease, the easy way to go, or the latter with work and effort, but with its permanent positive reward, the latter being the way of God? Which way of life will we choose day by day? Brethren, can we envision the end of the journey, the day when we reach the promised land and we have that place in the family of God? Can we picture that? We do every year. We discuss it and hear about it at the Feast of Tabernacles. But how well have we used these last 7 days to bring these things to mind as we concentrated on removing the things that would hinder us from it, the things that would hinder our journey? How well have we done in putting on the bread of life, our Savior Jesus Christ, and doing those things that will ultimately lead us to the kingdom of God and beyond? How well have we followed the one that we follow? The one that we follow, of course, is God, our Savior Jesus Christ. And after these days, when our notes have been put away and we go forward, will we continue to be conscientious of our choices every day to, again, choose that unleavened bread of sincerity and truth in everything we think, everything we say, everything we do? Will we follow our leader and reflect the light that he shows us? Brethren, let us remember the lessons of unleavened bread and be encouraged, because God's leadership is love. It is all about love, love for his creation, love for his plan, love for us. Let us continue to put on the unleavened of sincerity and truth and remember the goal to keep a firm vision in mind of the promised land flowing with milk and honey, and most of all, to continue to follow the one who loves us and who leads us to life everlasting.